In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you.
Most of us cannot imagine what it would be like to grow up in a country dominated not only by Islam as a religion, but Islam as a worldview, as a politics, as marching orders for jihad. Most of us cannot even imagine what that must be like. But to not only grow up in that, but then to find in Holy Scripture a different light, an entirely different voice than that of Islam, the voice of none other than Jesus Christ calling you out of Islam and to confessional Lutheran Christianity. It's Issues Etc. Reformation Week, and our theme is Paths to Lutheranism. We're going to take up the path from Islam to Lutheranism with Pastor Hisham Shahab for the next few minutes of the program. He's associate pastor at Peace Lutheran Church in Lombard, Illinois, missionary with Salam Christian Fellowship. He's author of a column for the Issues Etc. journal titled From Muslim Extremist to Follower of Jesus. Pastor Shahab, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you very much for having me.
How did you become involved in the Muslim Brotherhood?
I was born in a Muslim family that claimed descent from the tribe of Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, and we came to Lebanon and with the Arab conquest, and we multiplied, if I can say, and so there were 10,000 Shahabs when I was born, I believe, in Beirut, and I went to Shahab school. There is many businesses, Shahab grocery, Shahab mosque, Shahab school. So Shahab school and mosque was an Islamic school that taught not only the Quran and the statements of Muhammad, religious studies, I mean Islamic studies, but also taught everything. And I was very interested in the Quran and the Islamic religious studies more than anybody else. I was the best in school at that. And but however, they used to force us to go to the mosque every day at noon for noon prayers. And in that mosque was a firebrand Muslim Brotherhood recruiter. He was talking about the shame we have, we Arabs, because of Israel. And it really made sense, because Israel used to attack Lebanon once in a while, whether South Lebanon or break the sonic barrier over Beirut. And sometimes we had to dim the lights at night to avoid being bombed. So he said, we followed the East, which is the Soviet Union. We followed the West and we failed. He said imperialism did not give us anything but, shame and humiliation. The Soviet Union is communist and atheist. The best thing to do is to follow in the footsteps of Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, to regain the lost glory we had during the golden times of the Arab kingdoms or empires or Islamic empires. So this really kind of attracted me to the Muslim Brotherhood at the age 12, actually. And I joined with my brother. I was more kind of idealistic, if I can say, than my brother. My brother was more interested in the military side, the militia side of the Muslim Brotherhood. I was more interested in their ideology. And we were taught that the world is divided into two parts, the world of Islam and the world of infidels, and the duty of Muslims to convert the other part of the world into Islam, to Islam, or kind of subjugate them by force, because non-Muslims do not know what's good for them, you know, and that only Muslims are eligible to lead humanity to their welfare in this world. So it's like building the kingdom of Allah on earth.
What kind of violence against Christians did you both see and participate in?
Well, the civil war in Lebanon broke out in 1975. I was 15 years old. I had training before with the Muslim Brotherhood as well as with the PLO, some factions of the PLO, training at weapons, what have you, and explosives. But just to kind of clarify this thing, when Lebanon was formed by the colonial powers in 1923, they installed a Christian president, and it became like a mandate that you cannot become president, commander-in-chief, unless you are Christian Maronite, Maronite with an R. And the Maronites were maybe, or the Christians, all in all, half of the country when Lebanon was formed. With time, the Muslims procreated more and outnumbered them and started to ask for political power and representation, more political power. And Christians refused to give up their privileges, political privileges, and they formed militias that attacked and harassed Muslim kids and what have you, and Palestinian refugees especially. So a civil war broke out in 1975 over these issues of power and representation. And I was 15 years old when I found myself in the streets with a rifle going to high-rise buildings, sniping at Christian neighborhoods. There was one instance that was very kind of an eye-opener for me when I went with my brother to try a small mortar cannon and shell the largest Christian neighborhood in Beirut with this mortar cannon. I didn't like it because I signed up to defend the Muslim community but found myself shelling civilians, and I told my brother, we need to pull out. I don't like it. We were just trying the weapon, you know, nobody else. So we pulled out and went to the headquarters of the Muslim Brotherhood in Beirut, and the guy was very personable, and I asked him, brother, I signed up for a jihad against the Crusaders, but now I see myself shelling civilians. What's the deal here? He asked me a question. He was a very intelligent man. He asked me a question. Who is your example in life as a Muslim? I said, Muhammad, the Prophet of Islam. He said, great, because Muhammad, the Prophet of Islam, shelled his neighbor, his enemies with catapults. And catapults are blind medieval machines, and mortar cannons are blind modern machines. By analogy, we are kind of doing the same thing. We have to weaken the enemy. You should know that Muhammad shelled neighborhoods of his enemies, not only, you know, soldiers or military, you know, armies. So the head of the Muslim Brotherhood saw that I have good grasp at Islam, and I recited the Quran very, very well, and classical Arabic, and he asked me to become a preacher, and he offered training. That he said, we need new blood, you're from a good family, and we could really kind of train you to become a preacher. And in 6 months, they microwaved me into a preacher, and I was ready to give my first Friday sermon at the age of 16, you know, the kind of Muslims worship on Friday, not on Sunday. So, but God had a different plan for my life. I got into a head-on collision and broke both legs. And instead of giving that Friday sermon, I was bedridden for a year. So my life purpose in life to become a Muslim preacher and an Islamic activist was derailed in that accident, car crash.
What role did the killing of your brother play in all of this?
You know, it's kind of, the car accident was important because it derailed me from becoming a preacher while he kept going and became a captain in an Islamic militia. And I want to be a medical doctor instead of a preacher, and I put a lot of effort to teach myself English in order to go to the American University of Beirut. And I did, was admitted there. It was my first freshman year, when actually the first freshman semester, when my only brother, my only sibling, was killed by a Christian militia. So I was devastated. I couldn't focus on my pre-medical studies. I got a silencer and a gun and decided to kill everyone who belonged to that militia, even if they were my classmates. And I thought I could make friends with them in order to know where they live and how they move at night in order to ambush them easier. But there was a college course that was a college requirement, really, and it was a course of cultural studies, and it included Greek mythology, it included just selections from the Old Testament, selections from the New Testament. So I was walking into the classroom early in the morning when I heard something that would change my life. It was a selection from the Sermon on the Mount. So at the climax of my hatred, I heard "Love your enemies" for the first time. "Pray for those who persecute you." I thought, wow, it's superhuman or ridiculous. Who could do that? So the next day, the professor wanted to compare between the Old Testament and the New Testament, actually the commandments in the Old Testament and the greatest commandment that Jesus talked about in Matthew 22 and other places. When the Pharisees came and asked him, "Rabbi, what's the greatest commandment?" He said, "Love God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your heart and with all your strength." So the word of God captured my heart, especially that I start comparing, but that Muslims pray five times a day, not only on Sunday, ritual prayers, canonical prayers, if I can say. They fast 30 days, you know. They do the five pillars of Islam and ready to go on a jihad to die for their God. They think that they love God more than anybody else, but this Jesus Christ is overdoing it. I had never heard anybody speak about loving God in this powerful way. I had memorized half of the Quran by heart by then, but I had never read anything like that before. So I checked out a copy of the Bible from the library. It was King James Version, but I read Shakespeare before, so I was able to understand it. And they didn't have any more simplified copies then or versions. And it started to give me peace. Every time I read the Bible, I discovered gems like the Lord's Prayer, you know. So in the middle of the hate I had, I was looking actually for peace for my heart, you know. And I found it in the Word of God.
Pastor Hisham Shahab is our guest. It's our series, This Reformation Week, Paths to Lutheranism. We're telling his story about the path from Islam. He's author of a column for the Issues, Etc., a journal titled From Muslim Extremist to Follower of Jesus. Folks, when you join the Issues, Etc. Reformation Club, not only are you supporting this worldwide outreach, but you also receive membership premiums like books, broadcast transcripts, advertising for your confessional Lutheran church, and I Have Issues t-shirt. You can find out more and join by clicking the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses at issuesetc.org, or give us a call, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. When we come back, we'll talk about Pastor Shahab's encounter and befriending a Lutheran missionary.
Western civilization, infant baptism, transgenderism, a legal case for the resurrection, the First Amendment, revisionist history. Your favorite guests will address these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 9th and 10th in Dallas. Learn more at issuesetc.org. Making the Case, November 9th and 10th in Dallas. Dallas Page, Fort Worth. Epiphany Lutheran Church in Door, Michigan gathers to receive our Lord's gifts in word, baptism, and supper every Sunday morning at 9:15. Bible study at 11. Join us at 4219 Park Lane in Door, or visit us on the web, epiphanydoor.org. Christ-centered, cross-focused, historic, confessional, liturgical. Epiphany Lutheran Church in Door, Michigan. epiphanydoor.org. 616-681-0791. Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth, Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
This is Dr. Daniel Gard, President of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia University Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and we are committed to our Lutheran confession and heritage. Please encourage the student in your life to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's Issues Etc. Reformation Week. The theme is Paths to Lutheranism. Today we're exploring the path of Pastor Hisham Shahab from Radical Islam to Lutheranism. Pastor Shahab, talk about meeting and befriending the Lutheran missionary, Dr. Bernard Lutz.
Yeah, Bernie Lutz, it's a long story, but 2001, I was going into a bank building in Beirut, Lebanon, when I bumped into a retired Lutheran pastor from northern Minnesota. Pastor Bernie Lutz pastored many churches in northern Minnesota and was a missionary in Papua New Guinea and Nigeria. And he promised his wife when they retire, he'll take her south. So he took her to Lebanon, actually, and where he was trying to help with the Lutheran Hour ministry. And the office was damaged in the Civil War, and he wanted to rebuild everything, etc. So the office was in a bank building, and I was going to the bank, actually, and it was a large elevator where a few people were around with us, and he was giving out his card saying, God is love, in Arabic. God is love. Allahumma habba. Trying to say it, actually. He couldn't say it well. And I took the card. It said, Lutheran Ministry of the Middle East. Now, I knew about the Reformation. Actually, I was teaching a course at the American University of Beirut on Europe, and the Reformation was part of it. And I thought, maybe I should invite this Lutheran guy. He was the first Lutheran specimen I had ever seen, you know. And I thought maybe I should invite this Lutheran guy and ask him to give a lecture on the Reformation, because he could get me off the hook for 50 minutes. And I called him. He was so excited, and he wanted to meet me immediately that day. And we did meet. We had coffee, and he asked me to translate his Bible studies, and we started kind of joining hands in reaching Muslims around us. We ministered to Bedouins. We ministered to even Hezbollah, the Shiite terrorist organization. And he was like a lone ranger looking for Tonto, and he found me, if I can say, you know. And after 3 years, he invited me to come to Fort Wayne, Indiana, to the seminary. I was in Qatar when he called me. I moved to Qatar for a better job with Al Jazeera. I was a full-time journalist in Lebanon and adjunct professor at the American University of Beirut. So juggling two jobs was very difficult, and other jobs, actually. So I was offered a job at Al Jazeera in Qatar, and it was very lucrative, and I thought maybe I should go there. I didn't like it, and Pastor Bernie Lutz called me, and he said, why don't you come, since you're moving out of Lebanon, why don't you come to America and we'll help you go to seminary. It was like a dream come true, you know. I always dreamt about serving the Lord, and here comes, you know, the offer, you know. And I just boarded a plane and came without any contract with the church, without any written agreement, without anything, and God really worked the details out.
So what was it that attracted you to the Lutheran Confession of Christianity?
There is a few years of my life when I tried to reach God in different ways. Even when I was reading the Bible on my own, I wanted to explore other ways like spirituality, Eastern spirituality. So I looked for a Buddhist temple. I looked for a Hindu temple. I couldn't find any. The only thing I found was a yoga course offered at the American University of Beirut, you know. And I signed up for the course, and as soon as I went to the classroom, the instructor was a British lady from, she claimed to be the disciple of the great Mahatma Gandhi, and he asked me, sir, because all the students were girls, and did you come by mistake into the classroom? I said, no, I signed up because I want to reach God through Eastern spirituality. She said, you came to the right place, forget about Islam, forget about Christianity. You can do it only through spiritual exercises. So I said, okay, let's start. I was excited. Is this what I wanted to do? She said, no, you have to cleanse your body. I said, what do you mean? She said, you have to go, you have to become a vegetarian. I thought cleanse your body means take a shower, you know, like in Islam we take ablutions, and this is part of it, you know, like it's very strict. You have to take ablutions and make sure that you hold these ablutions, not, you know, go to the bathroom before prayers, what have you, and not touch also women, etc. So you need to keep your ablution. So I told her, you mean take a shower? She said, no, you need to be vegetarian. So I was a man, 21 years old, and going doing three martial arts because I want to kill my enemies with my bare hands if needed, you know. I was full of hate and wanted to. I used to jog 5 miles a day, and I had to get energy by munching fruits and vegetables half the day, you know, and spend the other half the day in the bathroom because of the fibers, you know, because it's really experiences. But I did great at yoga. In 2 months, I was able to stand on my head and do all the asanas, they call them, the positions. And I was given a mantra, and I was told that this mantra will dig into your soul and you can climb to God step by step. There are 7 steps. The last one is called Samadhi, union with the Creator. So that mantra was like David Carradine's Om, a Sanskrit word I had to repeat thousands of times. And the more I repeated that mantra, the more stupid I felt, actually. The more I repeated the mantra, the more I felt that I'm not climbing up to God, but I'm going down in my filth, if you can understand that. So it dawned on me, we may try to climb up to God, you know, with our good deeds, good works, or with our spiritual exercise, but it's an upside down story. God came down to us and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And it's by grace, you know, not by works. And really, this is why I liked Luther even before I met Pastor Bernie Luss. And I thought, I'm forgiven. That's it, you know. And it's sola scriptura. It's not about me, about how I feel about myself, about my emotions. It's an objective faith that points to the Word of God, and the Word of God points you to the cross of Jesus Christ who took our sins. And this is really an objective faith, not really something that about me and about how I feel. So this was really the attraction of the, you know, I hope this story explains how I kind of realized that the Lutheran theology is for me.
So how would you compare and contrast the teachings of Lutheranism with those of Islam in which you were raised?
Well, as I said, in Islam, if you want really to be a good Muslim, you need to wake up 4 in the morning. Maybe Luther used to do that before he rediscovered the gospel. He used to flog himself, as you know. And so 4 in the morning, take ablutions. If you had sexual relations the last night, you have to take a full bath, even if it's in the middle of the cold weather. We used to have power cut outs in Lebanon, and we had no hot water, and you have to take ablutions or a bath in cold water before you walk to the mosque. And walking to the mosque at 4:30 in the morning was not a kind of safe thing. The Christian militias used to bomb Beirut at night, and sometimes there would be robbers who could mug you, what have you. So I used to walk to the mosque in spite of that. So 5 times a day to the mosque, it was slavery, really. And fasting Ramadan. And, you know, after looking into Islam and abiding by Islam, or observing all most of the tenets of Islam, getting out of it, I see that Islam creates only hypocrites who want to keep faith, you know, not really to, it doesn't shoot at the heart, even though many Muslims try, but in the end they fail because they depend on their own power, not on the power of Christ. So the power of the cross, the power of the gospel makes things, you know, if I can say, freeze, gives me freedom, that I am forgiven even though I try to do my best, but I know that I'll fall short. And I know that I am forgiven because of the freedom that Christ gave me on the cross. So this is really kind of a big difference, I believe, that in Islam it's like, you know, a Pharisaic, you know, religion, if I can say, while in Lutheranism, you know that you are forgiven because of what Christ did, not because of what you're doing.
What would you say to a Muslim here in America? What do you say to them when they ask you, why are you a Lutheran Christian?
I would tell them that you need to use the freedom of faith we have here in the United States and look for the truth. And I know that you may not find the truth, but Jesus will find you, because he is knocking at our door. He is seeking us, and he will find those who really kind of look for him. And I would tell them that, I'll tell the truth with love, that after I compared between the Bible and the Quran, I found that the Quran is the word distorted version of the Bible is really a very kind of charitable term. It's more than distorted. It's fragmentary. It's hodgepodge. And if you want really to know God, you have to only to confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You cannot reach God through any other means.
Pastor Hisham Shahab is associate pastor at Peace Lutheran Church in Lombard, Illinois, and he's missionary with Salam Christian Fellowship. He's also author of the column for the Issues Etc. journal titled From Muslim Extremist to Follower of Jesus. You can read it under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Pastor Shahab, thank you again.
My pleasure.
Our theme for Issues Etc. Reformation Week, Paths to Lutheranism, continues tomorrow on the program. We'll discuss From Eastern Orthodoxy to Lutheranism with Andrew Strickland. We'll talk with Pastor Peter Bender about the Second Commandment and the narrative of Daniel in the lion's den, and we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Well, it's all, if it's non-Christian, from darkness to light, but I can think of few things darker than the false religion, the false worldview that is Islam, and no greater contrast than the light that is love and mercy and grace at the hand of the Savior Jesus Christ. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. our mailing address, issues, etc. P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Several Issues Etc. regular guests are candidates for leadership positions in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Every LCMS congregation has received nomination forms for the president and vice presidents of the synod. Please encourage your pastor and congregational leaders to fill out and return these nomination forms before February 20th of 2019. Learn more at issuesetc.org/nominations. issuesetc.org/nominations.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel. More than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for you and the divine service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.